The Viridian Nutrition range of 200-plus award-winning products includes vitamins, minerals, herbs, nutritional oils, specialty supplements, tinctures, and balms, all formulated to be healthful, efficacious, and pure. By choosing our Viridian Nutrition range, you are one step closer to your goal of 100% wellness. Ethical vitamins with an organic heart. Available at all Browns outlets. Browns and you.
Welcome to The She Word, conversations that women rarely have, but really should. As a recent convert to coffee, when Nescafé said they'd like to get involved in a show in conjunction with the campaign Nescafé Say Yes to Cappuccino, I was curious to see how we could relate that to the She Word and everything that the She Word is all about. But I checked out the campaign, and the campaign centers around a lifestyle concept that we should all take time for ourselves and feel free and empowered enough to say no when we need to. Immediately, I said yes. I cannot understate how important this conversation is. As a woman of years of experience, I can tell you it took me a long time to learn how to say no. How many times do you wish you had said no to a situation? Whether it was a night out with friends after an exhausting week at work, or when your boss asks you to work an extra couple of hours or complete additional tasks on top of your ever very full schedule. Even when we want to say no, we often find ourselves saying yes, compromising our time, our energy, our needs, and mostly ourselves. Research shows that anywhere between 35% and 60% of people have difficulty saying no. And this might be for all sorts of reasons. It might be parenting, lifestyle, or it just might be cultural. But saying no can be truly empowering, boosting confidence and setting boundaries. And this is the conversation that we are having today on The She Word. And involved in this conversation, I have three quite amazing ladies. I'm going to start with, sitting next to me, I have Ira Losco. Hello, Ira.
How are you?
I am really, really well. You are an award-winning recording artist, songwriter, musician, X Factor judge, mum, wife, and you are one of Malta's most familiar faces. You're giggling. Why are you giggling?
Because it's a list.
I could go on. There's a long, long list. And I'm actually not going to ask you to give us any more information about yourself. Mm-hmm. But in a second, Ira, I'm going to ask you to tell us about something about yourself that we might not know. Okay, I'll give you a couple of seconds to think about that. And I'm also wanted to say I'm really thrilled because you've been on this show before.
Yes, I have.
And it's very, very lovely to have you back.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Yasmin Halliday.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm very good. And yourself?
I am really well. You are also a singer-songwriter, Love Island host, content creator, and it's so fabulous to have you at the table as well. Now, as a stunning Maltese Danish lady, yes, you are such a familiar face here in Malta. We've all seen you on the most popular television show on Maltese television in Maltese history. So I'm going to ask you the same question. I'm going to ask you in just a second to tell us something about yourself that we don't know. You up
sure
for that one?
Yes, sure.
Brilliant. I'll give you a couple of seconds to think about that as well. Serena Massey, I'm so glad that you're at the table. Thank you. And thank you for being with us and welcome. You are here in a variety of capacities today, but one of the reasons that you're with us is that you are the HR manager of Nestle here in Malta, but also a systemic coach, which is amazing, and a professional certified coach who was based in France before joining us here. But Serena, that's not what you're from. You're actually from
Lebanon.
And you're so beautiful and stunning. And it's so lovely having you at the table.
Thank you.
But I'm going to get you to fill in more details.
Sure.
You're from Lebanon.
I'm from Lebanon. I've joined Nestle Malta 3 years ago. I'm thrilled to be here.
But how did you get from Lebanon to Paris to here?
Oh.
We want a bit of a backstory.
That's a long story. yes.
Okay, we haven't got that long.
No. I left Lebanon when I was 8 because of the war, obviously.
Of course.
And I went to Africa, Switzerland, etc., as most of the Lebanese people, you know, that traveled. And I ended up in Paris. When? In 88.
Wow.
Yes, this gives a hint of my age. Anyways, and then I fell in love with Paris, did my my studies there, et cetera, et cetera, and start working and get certified as a coach. And 3 years ago, Nestlé Malta called me and say, we're looking for an HR manager. So, okay. I took the decision in 24 hours. 24 hours, I start packing. And got in the plane, called the container.
Well, hang on a second, hang on a second. You had been to Malta before?
No, never.
Wow.
Never. I came once before, but the decision was already made. I came once to look around where I would want to live, basically, where I would like to have my apartment. And that was it.
That's incredible. And one of the interesting things, I don't know if you ladies know, but that Lebanese is incredibly close to Maltese. And you actually understand Maltese. There's so many familiarities between Maltese. I'm struggling. I'm trying to learn Maltese and having an epic journey. And you've just floated in and fluent in Maltese. But it's very similar, isn't it?
It is. Actually, it's Arabic based, so I can understand 80% of it. Mm-hmm. Numbers, colors are the same. If I, you know, listen more carefully, I can get 80% of the language. So it is easier, and you know, for me, it's easier to when you're in HR to go, you know, and have that listening capacity. So yeah, I was surprised myself. Huh? I knew that it was Arabic based, however, I didn't, you know, predict that I could understand that much of the language.
That's
honestly amazing.
Yeah. That's absolutely incredible. Like I say, I'm struggling with Akhtar and all the rest of it.
You.
thank you. I'm getting classes with you. So I'm really delighted. And ladies, I'm thrilled to have you at the table because this really is a very important conversation. Mm-hmm. And I am really delighted that we're having this show. Before we get into that, I said to you ladies, I wanted to know something about you that nobody knows. Yasmin, what about you does nobody know?
Well, I don't think nobody knows this, but usually people are surprised to know that I'm a speech-language pathologist, actually.
A what?
First and foremost. Well, maybe I was a singer first, but then I graduated from University of Malta as a speech-language pathologist.
Pathologist. So what does that mean?
So like a speech therapist.
Oh,
maybe
wow.
That's more of a term you've
heard. Oh, wow. That's incredible.
Yes, yes.
So have you ever worked or do you work?
Yes, yes, I did. I stopped now. I stopped practicing at the moment because I got too busy with other things. But I did. I had my own private practice for a while.
How cool is that?
Straight out of uni. Yes.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Oh, well, that's amazing. Thank you very much.
And a lot
much.
Of people don't know that.
True. They
about
not.
Me. Because the other things are louder, kind of.
Of course.
Yeah, for sure.
And they
for
kind
sure.
of took over, which they did, I mean. Yeah. Which I don't mind at all. I can always go back to it. So it's always there, you
easy.
Know.
There you go. Ira, any...
I don't know if there's anything that people, after so many years, so many interviews, so many, like, same asked questions and... You know,
there's nothing
like,
that nobody knows.
Well, I think the misconception maybe that when I write my songs, I'm only writing the lyrics, which is not actually the case. Because when you songwrite, you're also writing the melody, which is one of the strongest points of the song. The lyrics are important, the lyrical content, but it's the melody that drives the song. It's the melody that sticks into your head, you know, that people kind of sing along to.
So do you write music?
I don't actually write musical notes. I mean, I know how to do that because I studied piano, but I'm not going to sit and write notes to give to my musicians to play.
Well, there's something I didn't know because you obviously play piano.
Yes, I don't like playing it in public. I play it for myself and I use it to write my songs sometimes because most of the times we're literally recording on our phone.
Exactly.
We're recording the melody. And the lyrics. Maybe one thing people don't know is that I like to write in a way that is words and melody at the same time. That is when I feel that I've really nailed it. Some people write differently. They'll just have music and then they'll put words to it and a melody to it. I like doing it both at the same time. Mm. It's obviously a bit harder sometimes. Mm. But I feel like if you've got enough stored up here, which we probably all do because, you know, overthinking and all that, then it helps, you know? Just like, open up the file. Ah, today I want to write about hating or loving.
Is that how it works? You open up a file?
Yeah, I guess so. When you have the time to, which right now I don't.
Yeah. Well, listen, thank you very much for that as well. I am just, again, very, very excited about this topic. And I'm really excited that we're looking at it from very different points of view and very different personal experiences. But I want to kick off to put this in perspective. And I don't mind giving you an example, but what can you think of a situation when, looking back, you really wish you had said no and you didn't? It can be amusing or extreme, but you found yourself in a situation where you literally just couldn't say no and you got yourself into it. I mean, look, it's happened to me a lot. I am probably the whole reason this show is existing because I find myself much less now. But for instance, I actually went to Australia because I couldn't say no to somebody that wanted me to go. It does get that extreme. That's my story. A friend of mine said, come and visit me in Australia. And I saved up and spent all of my university.
So you had the time to think it through and say no, but you still went for it.
Yes.
Because you saved up for it.
Well, no. I had my grant, my university grant, and I actually just bought the ticket.
Okay. So you just blew that.
Yeah, I just blew the whole lot. It was £1,000 at the time. I mean, that's quite an extreme not being able to say no. It was a nice trip. I'm not going to say that it wasn't, but it was, you know, it was definitely something that I didn't need to do and I didn't want to do. And in essence, I always remember thinking back that it was just the ridiculous time to go to Australia for 4 months, right in the middle of my university degree. But anyway, is there any time that you, or times, instances that you can think of that when you think, I really want to say no and I don't?
I think for me, it's mostly work-related, which is the one that that affects me the most. You say yes, yes to a lot of work and it keeps piling up and you don't realize you've said yes to so many things and then you're a bit overwhelmed.
You're drowning.
With stuff, exactly. And then you have to get it done because then if I've said yes, I don't want to back out of anything because then, you know, that's not a good way to deal with it. So I think for me, that would be the most problematic. Yes.
Mm. It's really interesting, isn't it? Because this is something that I'm dealing with at the moment, is that I look at my calendar. I don't know if you guys do the same. Oh, I look at my calendar and I go, oh, like I've got half an hour just there. Like between everything, does anyone else do that?
What, and you have to fill it in with
and
something?
And I'm like, I could actually say yes to that. I could squeeze it in there.
Yes.
You're saying yes. You're saying you relate.
I think it's a thing that I'm kind of learning to navigate through as I get older and more mature. no, but it's something that I've done in the past and sometimes I do it. I just say yes to a lot of things without kind of thinking it through, without calculating how much time it's going to take me to get ready for this, that and the other, you know? Because it's not just shower, gel in your hair and I'm out. It's shower, hair, makeup. Where am I going to leave the kids, you know? Have I cooked? Have I done this? Have I done my other work, you know? It's a lot of those things. I mean, of course, with a good support system, you can do more. And in Malta, you can do more because it's a really small island. So I think this is one of the things that really screws us as Maltese people working in the media or in the music industry, that the island is so small and everywhere is close, easy to get to. Let's not forget about the insane amount of traffic. But I think that that kind of makes you think, okay, this is only 10 minutes away. That's only 20 minutes away. You know, and then like when someone says, we're recording a Marsa Schlock, you're like, lalo. If you live in the center and the
caveat that by apologizing to everyone who watches the She Word and is in Marsa Schlock, I'm so sorry.
No, I love Marsa Schlock, but if you live far away, or if, for example, you live in the south and someone says, we're filming in Melliha, then.
Yeah. I lived in Melliha most of my life, so
And that was far, according to some people.
I used to make sure I have the schedule for the whole day. I packed all my clothes for the whole day, and I'm not going to go up and down, up and down. I'm just going to leave Melihan and stay out till the evening when I'm
and
done.
And that's tiring,
that's,
you know?
That's because, what I used to do. I always used to have a bag filled with anything I need.
Even that, though, is tiring. It's mentally draining. Okay. Yeah, because, you know, you've got everything is in your bag. You know, you're living out of like a suitcase.
So even though it's a small island, I mean, you still need to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But being that true.
But there is that. I mean, even we don't take the travelling into account. I actually, I'm in Umjar and I drove from Umjar to Zaytun today. And it was I thought I was going to the other end of the universe. and it actually, I got there in 40 minutes, which was quite nice. And I was like, oh, look at that. It's quite nice down here. Maybe I should come more often. Sorry to people in the south for not coming more often. But it's true that we have that. I find that we have that space in the in our calendar. And we say, okay. And I'm thinking of these ladies because I'm going to ask you, Yasmin, when Love Island is going out, you must get inundated with, can you come to this? Can you come to that? Can you come to this? Can you come to that? And you're saying, well, you know, it's hard to say no.
Of course. And it doesn't only stop during that time, because actually you would think that Love Island is just 6 weeks, but it's
no.
It actually just keeps going, and the momentum keeps going, and the events keep rolling in. And
preparation, I guess.
And yes, of course. Lots of preparation before. So yes, but especially during that peak time when you're also having more work to get done. Yes, that happens. It also happens, you know, end of the year, festive season for singers and
which is
and
how
people in that industry. So sometimes it just goes and it goes a bit.
It's a bit
crazy.
Sometimes it's like when it rains, it pours, you know.
Of course. I mean, it's the season.
All the time.
Yeah. We're basically living in a 365 monsoon.
But then I want to come back to something that you said. And Serena, we're going to grill you in a second. But you said something there, Ira, about now being nicely mature. I'm older, but definitely not more mature, that's for sure. But have you found that as you get older, it's easier to say no? Or do you still have that angst inside? Because I don't know about you, I get that angst inside.
Look, I don't like disappointing people. So I think, look, honesty is the best policy. And it's really refreshing to find that when you're honest and you explain yourself, I over-explain myself sometimes, but I feel like the other person needs to know why I'm saying no. I do this on X Factor as well when I give my feedback, but I do it as well when someone asks me to be somewhere and I explain, listen, I can't be there because this and that. And when they know, they appreciate that I really can't do it, you know. I'm not going to do something and set myself back because I used to do that. I used to not want to disappoint someone else, but then I'm drowning. What's the point? And everyone else around me, my support system is suffering with me.
I'm going to throw this on the table. I literally have taken the script and thrown it out the window. You said it's easier for you when you say no, but then you explain why. And as you're saying it, I'm thinking, why the hell do we have to explain ourselves? And I'm wondering, as this is me not bashing men, this is just me defining the difference between men and women. I don't think that my husband or male friends has ever justified why they don't do it. They just don't do it. Is it a female thing? Is it a female thing?
I don't know, but I think that no is an answer by itself. No is an answer, you know? So the fact that we feel the need to justify, it comes from us. I mean, like, it's something that it's related to you. I know that when I feel myself, for example, someone comes in late, all right, to a meeting or whatever, all right? They say, excuse me, I'm late. This should suffice. Now, what we do is, you know, the traffic and the baba and the detail, but no one asked. No.
I just stopped doing this on emails because I would write and say, I can't do this. And blah, 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 blah. No one has time to read my emails where I'm going.
You're already late. You're interrupting him, you know, this thing and blah, blah, blah. But this is also a way of, how to say, to explain ourselves, to be understood, you know, that part of us that wants to be accepted, you know?
I think it's a character trait though as well.
Could be, because I would always tell you my whole life story. Right. Or the story of the day, the moment I walk in.
So, saying no, yeah.
But I just want to, I want to touch on that. I just want to grill on this because I'm just, I want to drill down and find out whether this is a gender specific. Does your husband, would he say?
I would, look, let me speak about myself. Mm. I wouldn't think it is. I think I have to explain to people because I've spent so many of my years knowing that, first of all, I'm a people pleaser. Mm. I'm becoming less of that as I get older. But my career, I started when I was 20 years old and people were ready to shut me down or shoot me down the second I made a false move because I was a young artist. And here it's like, it was a bit rare to kind of have a young artist who had overnight success, you know? It was quite a big deal, like, you know, the Eurovision thing. So I found myself like having to say yes to many people, having to justify me saying no so that no one would get hurt. Because the second, mm-hmm. I mean, it happened to me once. I couldn't make it to a school. And the person who I informed, you know, I can't make it to the school, so please make sure you tell the children that I can't make it. It was like the one show I couldn't make because I used to do like a school tour, a voluntary school tour and go and visit schools, you know, because kids were crazy at the time.
Voluntary, so it's not paid.
I didn't know. It was no. I wasn't paid. I was doing it out of my own free will, visiting schools, you know. And this one school I couldn't make because I was traveling to Germany at the time to record something. Wow. You know, and I actually called and said, listen, I can't make it. Please make sure you tell the kids because it's not on, you know, you just don't turn up. I've never done that in my life. I don't turn up somewhere, not even like on a date I don't want to go on, you know. So just to explain myself, okay? You see, am I overclearing?
It's clear.
Yeah. It's clear.
It's clear.
And this idiot doesn't tell the kids, you know? And then like this other idiot comes up to me who used to work at that school and says, you know, what did you do? The kids were so upset. You know, it's really not on what you did to them. And I was like, listen, dude, I didn't do that. I was very clear like that I couldn't make it, you know? So that kind of stayed with me for a while. And I felt like I had to kind of justify why I can't make it here, I can't make it there.
Uh-huh. We've talked a lot about work, and I want to ask the question because you're talking about this. We talked about this in the context of what we do for a living, and let's bring in other scenarios because I'm wondering who we have the most difficulty in saying no to, because there's work. that for you guys particularly, that has its own implication. You're artists. you're essentially freelance, and that means that you have to be mindful of your business, your industry, your presenters, so on and so forth. You have to be mindful of that. But is there a family member? Is there a...
No, because I'm
seeing here ago. Is there friends? Is there a husband? Are there children? Who is it that's hardest to say no to?
It was very difficult for me to say no to my sister. Yeah. I'm the eldest of three girls.
Okay.
And with the eldest comes this and that and the responsibility, blah, 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 blah. I resigned from that role around my 20s. It's because I couldn't say no to her. But
she's which sibling, the middle or
the middle?
Oh,
like you.
No? Oh wow! Middle. Just outed me as a middle child. Thank you so much.
No, did you say that?
No, I didn't say it on camera.
All right. So yes, it was difficult. But then I realized that I was not. I realized that when I was not saying no, what I wasn't saying yes to. Right. So this was a opening, you know, something for me that, okay, now what aren't you saying yes to for you, mm-hmm. right? So values, priorities, et cetera, et cetera. At that point, I started by explaining, not justifying, explaining. Mm-hmm. All right, I said, listen, I would love to. However, if you look at it, it's like this, 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 and that, okay? How would you help me, okay, to do both? You know, you need me there, but I also need that, okay? So it wasn't easy, huh? Because I need to save people, okay? I'm the rescuer, okay?
Ooh.
I'm a rescuer.
No, because it's true. We all have roles that we adopt as children.
Exactly.
And I've been looking into this recently. So if you're the rescuer, if you're the savior, if you're the savior child of the family, then that's really hard to say no.
Yeah, it
is. Because you want to make sure that everything's okay.
Wow. Yes, yes. And it takes a lot of energy, a lot of time, a lot of... And then you realize that the person that helped me was a friend of mine, okay? I was like, but you know, I was helping you in this, but I didn't ask you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I didn't ask you to. So at first I was like, so we were like 25, 20 something. I was like, first of all, I was like, well, you know, I was doing this for you.
Mm-hmm.
But, I was probably doing it for myself. Yeah, because I needed to feel
worthy.
That went deeper than we...
Yeah. Well,
didn't it?
So, and then it started, you know, sinking in. Okay. So if I say yes here, what does it mean?
Mm-hmm.
All right. If I say no, what does it mean? Okay. But it took some effort. Huh?
This takes a lot of self-awareness. And I think now I'm beginning to understand the roles that we as individuals adopt, and we can carry them for our entire lives without knowing that we've adopted these personality types and these roles that we identify as. Yeah, we went deep. That's why we're here.
Okay.
Interestingly enough, sticking with family, is there family members that you find it difficult to say no to? I mean,
I think
no one's watching,
I think,
don't worry.
No, I can't really pinpoint, because I feel like Ira said, I don't like disappointing people. I like showing up for people as well, especially friends and family. So when I'm saying yes to so many other things, work, social and stuff, it shouldn't be the family members that then suffer. Sometimes they do. I'm not going to say that they don't.
Mm.
So sometimes I try to make sure that I'm not saying yes to everything except... family sometimes, because sometimes life gets too busy and then you realize that you know, I haven't gone to see my nana week to weeks, and then I call her and then I'm panicking, then she shouldn't be the last person I go to see. Obviously I'm very close to her, so I hate when that happens. Or my mom, I mean, we chat and we speak all the time, we speak on the phone all the time, but then sometimes a week has gone by and I haven't seen her, and then, you know, it's not nice that she'll end up being the last person on the list that week. So yeah, I can't really pinpoint, but
no, I'm gonna not go down my Maltese family route. But what I will say is that we had, just a couple of weeks ago, we had a show about family relationships here just after Christmas, and Sarah Stellini says on that show something that really blew my mind. She said, sometimes I say no to my family when they invite me to come over, because I know that I'm only going to show up 50% of me. I'm only going to give them 50% of me. And if I say no and I have the opportunity to recharge, the next time I can see them, I'm fully present. And that was such a learning curve for me. I was like, wow. You know, for me, my family are not necessarily here in Malta, but even to show up with anybody, I'd rather say no and not turn up half-assed and to be fully present.
I agree with that. I'd rather like not, I don't know, like, again, with this Malta being so small, you know, you'll go like, all right, I'll just turn up at my parents like for half an hour, for example. But in that half an hour, if I'm playing with my phone and like uploading this and answering this message and answering this email, then I'm not fully present, you know, so... I'd rather say no, but say yes to like a lunch where I'm going to be there present, you know?
Yeah.
But then you know what's not fair sometimes? So someone like my mom, for example, she will always understand that I'm really busy. So she'd be like, yes, don't worry. If you don't have time, don't come. So she would be someone who's easy to say no to in that moment. But is that fair? Because she's the one who's going to understand the most. That's not fair.
True, very true.
You know what I mean?
There are people who don't take no for an answer.
Exactly.
For example.
Sometimes Exactly.
And they make your life hell because you're like, listen, I can't make it. And I would love to make it, but I really can't. When I've made it, I've been there, you know, and but this time I really can't. So
the thing is also is how do we accept the no if someone says no to us? You know?
I was really bad at accepting no's.
Okay, we have to stop this because I need... Iris just dropped a nugget.
It's in the past, when I was immature.
Let's talk about your immature days. You took no's badly.
I took rejection very badly. And I feel my son takes it badly too. He's like me, exactly. No, I used to take rejection very badly.
Yeah. So
in relationships, especially.
Ooh. Mm. Yeah. Fill in the gaps because I think that will speak volumes to a lot of women.
You just learn that it's a sign of respect when you accept a no and someone says, I think the hardest part is when you're told no and you kind of don't know where you're at. Like, why are you saying no? Like, what's wrong?
But then does that come back to why you give the explanation? Because you want the explanation.
Exactly. It's true.
Yeah. So can you give me a kind of a random no names, but a for instance of this sort of thing might have happened and I would have taken that badly?
I don't know, when someone picks someone else over you, I guess.
Oh, that kind of no. All right.
But then when you're mature enough to accept it, you know, to say like, listen, this happened. It was good while it lasted. People move on, you know?
I much prefer the honesty, though.
Mm-hmm. Ah, no, I'd like to be told, you know? Like, listen, I don't want to be with you because she has bigger...
Okay.
For instance.
All right.
No, I'm joking.
No, I hope that wasn't the reason.
Well, but if we go back to the no and the yes, okay, this is very interesting. Mm-hmm. When someone says no, all right, we tend to take it personally.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
But the person
is saying no to the situation.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
Sometimes,
I hope.
You know, that. No, because he is saying or she is saying yes to something that is okay for that person.
Mm-hmm.
All right. For him, the person that is asking. All right. But we interpret it as no against us, you know.
Mm.
So that space in between receiving, you know, saying the no and receiving the no is critical. It's important because then the no is in the middle, all right, and it's not hitting me.
Yeah, no, I'm just sitting there. I think.
All right, so that person is saying yes to something he needs or she needs.
Yeah, yeah, I'm
right?
sure.
So basically, it's also I would say, all right, so how can I learn from that?
Mm-hmm.
Right,
that's the mature way of looking at this.
Yes. I mean, when that friend of mine, when that friend of mine told me, you know, I didn't ask you for anything,
it was a wake up call, right?
It hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It was like, my God, I mean, listen, it sinked in, you know, say, okay, fine, thank you. Okay? Mm-hmm. So,
no, that's the mature way of looking at it, right? I mean, eventually you learn. I learned from being told no and like, you know, you need to move on. You need to accept the other person's no and learn from it.
Not this time. You know, you can say no,
exactly.
Not this time.
It's really interesting you saying about that because, you know, thinking about it and us not going back to this idea of personality types, I certainly in the past have been emphatic that even when I'm being told no to my face, by a romantic partner, I'm like, no, I have to fix this. I have to fix this. I have to make this work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been my backstory. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes that's why I've not been able to accept a no, because I think that I've somehow failed. I need to fix it, because if I can't fix it, what does that say about me?
Oh.
And I think like that goes back to what you're saying there.
Exactly. It goes back to our primary system, because here you're not alone. No. We are all interconnected, okay? So you're reacting to something, okay, or to someone. By the way, maybe you would be able to receive a no better from one person and not the other.
As well, check. Yes, that's very possible,
so
for sure.
Also, it goes back to, you know, what your primary, our primary system is the family. Mm-hmm. So what we learn there, we take it with us, okay, yeah. Wherever we go. Mm. So the same thing applies with the no or the yes, because we can have the same conversation for the yes.
Absolutely.
No?
Mm-hmm.
No, yes.
Yes. That was definitely a green light there. I feel like I need two flags.
Yes.
No. I want to come back to what you just said that ties in with this, Yasmin, because you just mentioned I would much prefer honesty.
Mm. Yes.
I think definitely. We all want honesty, but we don't always want to hear it.
Exactly. Mm. No, I would always prefer the honest truth, even if it is a no. I'm not really one that takes no's very personal. Actually, on the contrary. Mm-hmm. I think I understand it a lot. I try to understand why someone would be saying no as well. And actually, even though I'm one who loves to show up for people, I hate needing people to show up for me. Mm. If that makes sense. So even if it's, quick example, if it's my birthday, I never really plan like a lunch or anything. Mm. I would hate, you know, having people needing to come to a lunch for me, spending money for me to celebrate me. I would like pick maybe a bar or somewhere fun where we can have a drink. You can pop in, you can pop out. Doesn't matter if you come or if you don't. I don't take it personal. I'll be there from this time till this time. If you want to come celebrate, you can come. And if you don't, I've been doing that for all my birthdays, basically.
I'm very much like that.
So that's quite that's quite funny because I'm different the other way around. I wouldn't miss your birthday, you know, unless I really can't. I don't know if that's what that kind of means.
We both went at the same time. We said that
because I wouldn't really. It's very important for me to show up, but then again, I don't like imposing it on people for me. That makes sense.
It does make sense. It does make sense.
Why would you impose something?
I don't know. I would maybe sometimes I feel like I am because it would be something that I invented or a plan that I invented. So usually my message would always be, oh, we're going there today, but don't worry if you can't make it, you know?
Apologizing.
Let me know if you can, but don't worry if you can't, you know?
Very interesting. You know?
But does that mean then that softens the blow if someone turns around and says, I can't make it? Because you've already given them the out.
Could be.
Whereas for me,
I'm just making it comfortable for everyone. You can just decide and...
So the other way around, if you say something like that to someone, you know, or to me, for example, I say, okay, but so you don't want me to come?
Then I would hope that that's not the message,
no,
but it could be, maybe.
You can go both ways, you know, say, okay, you're free to come. So you
she's
don't
so
really...
matter of fact. I like that.
So what are you saying? What do you want?
Yes,
you
know, and it can also be that maybe I'm not making it seem as important for me, which is... wrong in that sense.
You're like protecting yourself.
Could be it. But I'm also quite chill as a person. So like,
you're super chill. We like you. You can come.
If you don't want to come, just don't come. I'll have fun anyway. I'll find someone to hang out
with. We'll just grab someone from the bar. When is your birthday? We'll all be at that bar, wherever it is. We'll be like,
May.
When is it?
13th May.
Ooh,
so it's usually springtime.
Yeah, very close to mine.
When things start getting fun again.
True.
So it's.
I mean, I'm exactly the opposite. And anybody who knows me, I'm massively the opposite, and I make a big fuss about my birthday.
Really?
I'm like, it's my birthday, and it's not very far away from yours.
No, I love celebrating my birthday. Let's not get it twisted, but it's just, I don't know. That was just one example.
Yeah, it's
but of a way that I don't expect it as much as I, I don't expect the yes as much as I give the yes.
Yeah. So,
anything.
This is really interesting. I want to throw this into the middle of the table because we've talked about who it's difficult to say no to, the scenarios that it's difficult to say no to. I think it's equally important to look at the instances that it's easy to say no. I have friends who, if I had to turn, I have friends, a wide range, a rainbow of friends. Some of them I know, if I had to say no to, they would be like, and if I had no names, and if I had, I have other friends who, if I had to say no to, they'd be like, hey, no, it's no problem.
No problem at all. Do you have, I mean, that's just friends. That's not even family. Mm-hmm. I mean, even I think as well, just to throw this on, she's going to kill me. But I think sometimes if I say no to my mother would be like your mum. Your mum sounds amazing.
Yes, she is.
But I think in some instances, I would say no to my mum, and my mum would say that it's okay when it's really not okay. And she's
That she doesn't worry you, she doesn't stress you
absolutely out. And I think we all do that, and I think we need to unpick that in a minute. But are there people that are easy? Do you find that there's people that are easier to say no to and be honest with than others?
Yes.
Yes, definitely.
Sure.
Who's the easiest?
I think it's the people that love you the most.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, profound. Because?
Because they understand you the most. And they don't want to be a burden on your day, your life, or
people who don't have agendas, I guess.
Which could be work or friends, or it could be in the context of anything.
Even family members. I mean, I do not comprehend these family feuds here in Malta, for example. Like how, I don't know, two mothers, for example, the mother of the bride and the mother of the groom, will like argue at a wedding because they've picked the same color of dress. I just don't comprehend that. Like, what?
I
what
love
is
your
this?
Face, and you're like,
but what, you know, what is this crap? Like,
yeah.
Or I don't know, like sister-in-law doesn't talk to the girlfriend of, you know, sorry, sister-in-law doesn't, whatever, sister of the boyfriend doesn't talk. Why? Because you're jealous? Like, build a bridge and get over it. You know, I don't get this. I've never lived through these type of situations, so I can't understand it. Mind you, there are always two sides of the story, you know.
And I think that's important because it takes two people to create a scenario like that. Mm. But you're obviously, you're in a situation where you have people that you're more comfortable around.
And my mum is the same as well, you know, like she understands.
Understand.
You know, I don't have any family members who don't understand the no, really and truly.
Can I ask you, because Serena, we've just been talking about this, and and both of these ladies have referenced their mums as being real points of positivity. So my question to you is this ability to say no, or to have that empowerment, is that learned, or is it, are we born with it, or do we get it from our parents, or where does that come from? Because I know for me, it's something that's very new. And when I say very new, I'm talking about in the last few years, and I'm 50. So it took me a really long time to get here.
No.
To start saying no, yeah. To start saying no.
Start saying no. All right. I don't know if it's, easier for some and not for others. However, I think it's what it implies to say no. When you're a child, being in conflict means being out of the system. And being out of the system for a human being is a survival problem. Right, so
explain that to me a little bit better. So out of the system and
the family system, if you don't, you need to be likable. All right, you will do something to please, because human the human being before 3, 4, 5 years, they cannot survive by their own.
Mm-hmm.
All right, unlike other animals. Mm. So we do have this adaptability, that skill that makes us to be adaptable, you know, to be integrated, to be in the system, all right? This is a survival. This is very powerful. Then things happen. Life happens, okay? So either we take this and stretch it, all right? Or we put another answer to it, all right? My mom, you know, taught me to say no because she was too demanding.
Okay.
All right? So...
So you used to you said no because she asked too much of you.
Yes.
So you learned.
So you learned that earlier.
So I needed, you know, to understand where is the limit.
How early did you learn to say no? Like, how early on in your life did you learn to say no?
So saying no, it's not just no. It's you have many ways to say no. Not being there. Traveling. Leaving the house earlier than others.
Oh, wow.
So not me, only, but those are, you know, means of, you know, putting
these
distance.
These are ways to say no without saying no.
Yeah. You can ask questions, for example, now on a coaching mode, all right? You can use the coaching mode to say no. You can ask questions. For example, if someone asks you something, all right, you ask him a question. So how important is this to you?
Okay.
All right? Mm-hmm. All right, okay. So first of all, and then you say, okay, let's see how we can get in the middle.
A compromise.
A compromise.
So it's not confrontational?
No, of course not.
That's a great question to ask, though, actually, yeah, before saying no.
Yeah.
How important is that to you? Because then the person can tell you, oh, no big deal. Don't worry about it, if they're going to be honest. Or they can say, no, actually, I really need you. And I think that would really make a difference if you should say no or not.
Exactly. And this opens a communication space. What happened?
Sorry, but it's true. Erin's laughing at my face because I'm just sitting here going, wow, I'm 50. I thought I made it. And suddenly all everything, the foundation of everything. I tell you why. Let me tell you why. Because you said something a minute ago. You said about you can say no in various ways. You can say no about not being present. You can say no by traveling. You know, I'm 2,000 miles away from my family. I don't often get confronted with a question whereby I have to say yes or no. And I've wondered over the last number of years if I, you know, in me being here and staying here was not necessarily a coincidence. It was probably more of a subliminal decision to be away from certain scenarios and situations. I mean, that's like a personal insight into something I'm kind of working through, journeying through at the moment. Mm-hmm. But it's true, isn't it? We can say no in so many different ways without actually saying no. We can just not be present.
Yeah.
And then going back to what you were saying just a second ago, I mean, that whole idea of asking that question, that's where you caught me. I was like, whoa.
No, and I was thinking of like how petty some people are. Like, you know, that they would answer that question in a way that is untrue just to make you say yes.
Wow. Okay.
You know? There are people who are that petty.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes.
Yes, you can definitely get a sarcastic answer to that question. But I would hope that the person
like
asking
a dramatic, you know, answer.
How do you deal with this?
I don't know. I think I eliminate those people from my life. I think I've learned to navigate through it and through my life as I become more mature. I joke about this, but it's true. There is a level of maturity that comes with age that you realize, you know, that these people who make life difficult and who would like come up with so many dramatic scenarios to make you say yes, because I don't know why, you realize that you need to eliminate.
But have you seen that passive aggressive behavior when you say to somebody, I can't make it, and they're like, oh, really? As if the whole world depends on you saying yes. I can't make it to dinner. Oh really? You know what I'm saying?
Well, this is the victim.
Ooh, yes, this is what you're talking about.
This is the victim. You have a savior, a rescuer. You have a victim, and you have a persecutor.
That's technical.
Tell me more.
No, we all play those roles.
Yeah, we were like, give us a therapy. We want to.
We all
today.
Play those roles.
No, okay. True.
I, you know, okay, so basically from the beginning, I am a savior. All right, I like that. Mm-hmm. Then when someone says, but I didn't ask you for anything, right? I'll go like a victim. What? How? I did this for you, blah, 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 blah. All right, in the split of a second. So we all do this. It's not a, you know, something. We all have a certain level of neurosis, honestly. So
And what was the other one? There were three, right?
The persecutor.
And the persecutor.
What role does the question?
So there's just, you know, like, it's your fault, you know? You didn't tell me you didn't want it.
And we all do this?
Well.
Wow.
In the same conversation, we can go
I'm
back
laughing
and forth
because, yes, we all do it, I guess.
Right. I'm getting
I haven't
it.
Been aware of
it's
this.
It's okay. It's okay, you know? It's okay.
Oh, my God.
Trudy's written off as very unself-aware.
Well,
No, I mean, because now I'm just thinking about every time that I've done it. And I know that I'm like, oh, shit, I did that, didn't I? For sure I do it. But I don't think anyone sat down and said, I mean, because we always think that somebody else does it,
it
right?
It has a name, actually. Okay.
We're going to call it Trudy Kerr or something? What was that?
It's a Cartman triangle.
The what?
What is it?
The Cartman triangle.
The Cartman?
Yeah,
Cartman triangle. Cartman, like the Cartman. South
I was going to say like anyways, South Park.
All right, so it is something that we are social animals. We need to interact, okay? So you take what you come from, your basic system, okay, with your preferred role. Mm-hmm. My preferred role was a rescuer, all right? So I play that. And it's okay, all right? Mm.
And can it depend on what day it is or how you're feeling on that day, what has happened before that day?
It's resurfaced. We do have a preferred one. We can build awareness and then switch to something else, all right?
Okay.
But, yeah.
But you do fluctuate.
You do fluctuate. It's It's okay.
Is there, I mean, like lots of other theories, I mean, is there a healthy adult as well? Because we talked about those three different situations, three different scenarios, but is there a healthy adult response?
Yes.
Okay. I was, thank goodness. You seem to get really paranoid.
Of course. But it's interesting, you know, to see how, yeah. Well, the victim can become creator. All right. I am in charge of what is happening to me. I am part of the scenario. All right.
Okay.
So it's not just boom, you know, like, it's always on me. It's always, and then I always meet, fall in love with a, I don't know, married man. I always have the same aggressive boss. I always have this always thing, you know, it's the victim role. Mm. So this, you can say, okay, so what am I doing to contribute to reproduce this scenario over and over again?
Okay.
All right.
You learn from your mistakes.
Mm-hmm. This one. All right.
Wow.
Yeah, but we can.
You know what you got me thinking of? I don't know if you ladies follow Mel Robbins. Do you follow Mel Robbins? Mel Robbins, a great, amazing lady with an incredible backstory. And I just, a couple of weeks ago, she had an interview with Oprah, which was like her life dream. And she was on this podcast with Oprah Winfrey. And Mel Robbins, I have to say, totally outshone Oprah Winfrey. But she talks about something that you made me think of. She talks about the theory of let them.
And where, I know the one.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then let them. If they're going to do that, let them. And if they're going to be, you can't control that. You can't control the response if somebody's going to be a victim, if they're going to be a persecutor. What was the last one?
A victim, persecutor, and the savior.
And the savior. You can't change that. But then the flip side of that is let me. And she's just brought out a book on Christmas Eve that is about that. So let them, and then let them do their bit, and I'm then going to take on what I can do, and and I'll be responsible for how I respond to that. And I think this is very much what we're talking about with regards to this whole conversation of no. You mentioned something back there about being in a social context. And I want to throw this onto the table as well, because there's another reason that we might say no. And that is FOMO. Look at me saying FOMO. Almost 40% of millennials overspend and even go into debt to keep their relationship with their friends. 37% of people have made a purchase after constant exposure to social media. About 69% of millennials experience FOMO regularly. 26% of social media users experience FOMO as scared of losing friends. Now, I'm going to relate a situation that happened to me recently, and I want to bring it into the context and then get you guys to fill in your thoughts on this. But I was recently invited to go to an event. The event was abroad. It was going to be absolutely brilliant. But to go, and it was extremely short notice. I was basically given 5 days notice. And to be able to go, I had to cancel three events, big, big events. But I really wanted to go to this event abroad. It got to 2.5 days away from going to this event, and I still didn't have any flight details. And I had at that point, and then I was offered a particular means of travel that just wasn't workable. And I stood there and I said, what am I going to do? And I actually said, this formula that's in front of me does not meet my criteria of what is acceptable. And I'm going to say no. And I wrote and I did the whole explanation. I did the whole, I'm really dreadfully sorry. And it's such an incredible opportunity. But actually the criteria doesn't meet. I'm having to cancel big events to be able to come to this that's very important to me. And so at this juncture, I'm going to say no. Of course, the reply came and said, well, listen, if you can just bear with us for X amount of time, we'll make arrangements. And I said, no. Mm. Now, doing that, immediately, I'm sure everybody identifies, I just went, oh, what have I done? Because then I find out that other people that are like really cool and like to hang out with are going and... I'm just like, okay. But I also had the flip side of that where I felt incredibly empowered for saying, that was my criteria. This didn't meet my criteria. Mm-hmm. And therefore, I'm saying no. And that is, I think, I'm going to ask you ladies, because we're not in that much of a dissimilar situation. We work in, I've been in media since 2013, and quite often we get invited to this, that, and the other, and all the rest of it. And I think for me, certainly, FOMO, even though I didn't even know what that was. but the fear of missing out has been very, very real. I find that it's easier for me to say no now because I'm almost as mature as Ira. but it is real, isn't it real? I mean, do you get that, or do you just have such exciting, lively lives that actually you don't care?
Shall I go?
You go first, because mine's boring. So you go.
I suffer a bit with FOMO, I think. Maybe I think it's less in the past year, I would say. So maybe because I am getting a bit older. when it comes to any events, I mean, I love being out. I love being social. So that does help. So I don't like to miss out on much, actually. But that's part of my character, I feel, as well. But I think the problem kind of comes when it's events which are more work-related. I have to pick and choose a bit, because sometimes it becomes too much and sometimes they can be a little bit unfair. So, for example, in the social media business, you get invited to many different events.
Of course.
And sometimes you're not paid to attend these events, but it's an honor that you're invited, kind of thing. But then you're expected to go there, expected to post about the brand. You're not being paid for it. So sometimes those are a little bit
dodgy.
They're a bit, maybe you need to think about them, and you need to, the way I go about it is, obviously, if it's a company I'm working with throughout, obviously I'll go and I'm going to go support, and even companies that I don't work with, but I have to make sure that I'm going to enjoy it myself, that it's not going to be just work for me that I'm not going to get paid for, because sometimes you're just expected to to show up. Work for free, kind of, because you're invited to this event, and it's not always always the case, you know. You're still providing work at the end of the day. So at least maybe a message that I can send to brands or anyone who is going to create these events. Number one is to respect the content creators and people that you're going to invite. Obviously, there are people that maybe are not content creators and would love to attend the event to experience whatever you're experiencing, but the people you expect work from should be valued. And then to make the event as interesting as possible, because when it's something that is interesting, that I'm going to get something out of, it's going to be, I don't know, a lovely dinner, I'm going to get a nice experience out of it, then that's going to be much more intriguing for me. You know, I'm going to get something back, not just give you, then it's going to be a two-way street, and that makes more sense.
You can't make gold out of poop. So, but what you
no, but
what,
it happens sometimes. No, not that, but it happens. But it happens that there are events that you go and you have a really
you're pleasantly
nice time,
surprised,
you know. You're or I would think, know it's going to be a nice afternoon, and then I'd gladly go.
A lot of women support a lot of men, but women, I've seen a lot of women support their income through content creation on all sorts of levels. But it is worth noting that that content creator, we use that as if it's not a business. That is a business woman.
It's a full-on business.
Absolutely their decision whether or not they attend an event, whether they can attend or not. But essentially, they have to make a business decision. And then with that content creation, there's a lot of blurred edges. But coming back to what you were saying there is that you, and this is kind of where I want to lead towards the last part of the show, you made a decision, just as I had. I said, this is my criteria. And you're defining your criteria. You said, I have to make a decision about whether or not it's right event for me to be at. Is it paid? Is it? And we're talking about, again,
something I want to promote as well. Maybe it's not something that
doesn't align with
me. Exactly. That's actually a very important no. In my my business and in the content creation.
But then you
space.
Can say no and.
Yes, definitely.
No. However, you know, and then you can propose something.
Of course. Yes, I do that sometimes, actually.
You know? Because,
And I feel like in the past, so I've been self-employed 2 years now. And I feel like in the past year, I learned how to do all this so much better. I think in the beginning, it's, especially when you start social media, there's a lot of yeses because you want to, you're excited about it. I mean, I haven't been doing social media only 2 years. Now it's been since 2019, so nearly five years now. But self-employed, so as a full-on businesswoman, that's been two. And when I've had to be, you know, my own boss and voice for these things. And when I learned that, it was much better. People respect you more as well for it.
So this is in the context of business. Ira, what is your criteria? We're going to come to personal in a second to what you'd say. And obviously I'm going to ask you, but we're going to come to personal, what your criteria is for saying yes and no, and the criteria for your standards of what you will accept and what you won't. Because this is what we're talking about. Essentially, we're talking about boundaries. Where do your boundaries sit with regards to work? What is your criteria for yes to that event, no to that event?
I agree with Yasmin in the sense that I will agree to do something if it aligns with my brand. After so many years, I feel like I need to make those choices because those choices can damage what I've built or they can make it better. So, you know, I've been working with brands, for example, for so many years, with Nescafé for 20.
Wow.
20 years. So, and my choice to do so, and I guess their choice to keep working with me is because we have a mutual understanding. I like their way of working. I love the brand. I believe in it. I use it. So some choices are easy to make. And also when I speak for example, an organization of sorts, like when I stand behind, I don't know, LGBTIQ, for example, I stand behind it because I have personal experiences that I've been through which resonate with me. So I decide to stand behind that and maybe less behind something else, not because I don't believe in, I don't know, speaking in favor of, I don't know, animals, for example, but because there are other people like Moira, my friend, who is very passionate about that. So that's her realm.
That's her
space.
It's
not that I love animals and I will help if she asks me to help out, but there are certain things that you take on because you really want to take them on and because, you know, you're just passionate about and all that. But going back to FOMO, I don't have any anymore.
Of course, because we didn't ask you that.
Exactly.
We
got...
No, it's fine. But I just wanted to add that because I don't feel I have FOMO anymore.
And suddenly Ira is a goddess, the goddess of no FOMO. But you had and you've learned.
I had, yes, in the past. Well, wait. I have FOMO of stage-related things. You see, so there it ties in with what you're really passionate about.
Ooh, that's really interesting. So yeah, I have FOMO about something you're not passionate about, right?
If someone asked me, for example, to go on tour, that would be a really hard decision to make for me because how am I going to leave two young kids behind? Know that my husband has to fill in for me, you know, in certain things that I do daily. But then I don't want to give up, you know, like the excitement of being on tour, of being on the road, you know, of performing and that. So those are difficult decisions to make. But like, if you're going to ask me about events, I use the same strategy as you. And I think to myself, you know, do I really want to be at this event? Am I really going to enjoy it? It's a bit of a what's in it for me kind of thing.
Oh, it's a business.
Because sometimes when you say that, you think to yourself, you know, am I being selfish? But it's not really being selfish. It's
not at all.
You know, what am I going to do?
Thinking about yourself and your business at the end of the day.
Am I going to have the babysitter come in for like 5 hours? So, you know, which is fine, but you decide, you know, do you really want to be there? Do I not want to be there?
And if you're going to enjoy it is the most important, I think.
Yeah.
One of the most, anyway.
And the thing is as well, if I'm performing, for example, twice in a week with my band, and then I have an event to go to, you know, I'm already doing like, I'm already, I don't know, out on a Monday, out on a Wednesday, and then, I don't know, someone says, let's go to dinner on a Friday. Do I really want to go or should I sit this out? Sometimes I really want to go and I go to that too. But sometimes I say to myself, listen, you know, like...
So the criteria on the table in reference, because we've now blended between work and personal life, but the criteria of saying yes and no is that for you, it's is it something I believe, or for both of you, is it something I believe in? Is it something that makes sense business-wise? Is it something that I can manage with my family relationships, with the commitments that I have? You know, if somebody comes and says, Ira, do you want to go on a 52-week tour of the US and we're going to play at every major stadium, you're going to have a really big, and Adele is going to come and support you. I mean, like,
as if that would ever happen, but okay.
We're just throwing it there. We just put it there. But that, all of those criteria apply, and it's really interesting that there are criteria. We have criteria, and I think it's like I say, it's something that I've just started doing, and just the empowerment to say, okay, that doesn't meet my criteria, because I think a lot of us, particularly if you're self-employed, would say, and no, I'm going to scrap that, because a lot of us say yes in work environments, even if we're employed, because we think that if we don't, it's going to damage our careers. That's no difference to what we're talking about, going to an event where, you know, it's good for... I love that one where they say it's good for your exposure. You know what I'm saying, right?
Of course.
Like we give a good... but there are those different criteria. So... And I'm going to get you in a second to kind of put a synopsis to it, because I'm having so much fun. When it comes to personal events, though, when it comes to personal relationships, friends, family, what is the criteria for saying yes and no? What is the criteria? If someone said to you, it might not be an event, can you do this thing for me? Can you pick up my kids after school because I'm, you know, I can't make it, or I can't be there? How do you decide between yes and no?
I think time is a big factor.
Ooh.
So depends how busy my week or my day is in that moment, and the urgency of the situation. Because if I literally just can't slot you in, I mean, it's
no,
not possible, because that can that happens
sometimes.
It's just not physically possible.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that's important that I also go off a lot is a gut feeling.
Maybe
more to the business side. But even maybe some personal or social events. Sometimes when you get that email or that message, oh, we're meeting there, you're either excited or you're actually, no, I don't feel like doing that. Or, oh, I'm too busy that day. It's going to be too much. I think that's something I go off a lot. Because sometimes a message pops up, an email pops up, and it's you're instantly excited to read it. And sometimes...
I imagine myself being at the event and how I would be feeling at that time, you know? Like, do I know that I'm going to sit there and say to myself, I really should have said no. And then I say no before it happens, before I get there. I preempt, yes. Sometimes I don't. And I'm sitting there going, this should have been a no.
I think we've all done that. But sometimes you look at, I mean, I was reading this morning, and it reflects something that one of you ladies had said, is that you look at your calendar in the morning and you just go, oh, I should have so said no to so many things that I've got going on. Do you ever get that? Like,
it's
no,
the time.
There's
many hours in the day.
Absolutely. But we don't say no. I think for women as well, a lot of us... This is more gender specific, but
we don't say no because we multitask and we can ram so much into our day. And the net effect of that is that we get to the end of the day and we're thin.
We're burnt out.
Exhausted. We're absolutely. Is there a reason that you might say no to an event, to a family something or sorry, I just go back. What was that thing that you said? You said if somebody asks you something, the question that you ask back is?
How important is this for you?
I thought of that when I said to you about you know, if somebody asks you to go and pick up the kids, how important is it to you? How is it, you know, to put it in context? That's interesting.
I'm going to be using this question a lot. Ooh. I think it's a really good, something we learned today.
Absolutely. No. This is going to be in big letters really underneath good. This show.
Sean tells me, can you take the garbage out? How important is it?
So?
I've got a load in the washing machine. Can you take how important this is to you?
But the thing is that it works both sides. You can ask yourself that question. How important is this to me?
To me, exactly.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, and there, you know, you have a clear, more or less frame on, all right, how much I want to go into, you know, how far I want to go. Mm-hmm. Right? Maybe, you know, this is something I do. It's the level of presence. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if I... friends, I will ask, okay, what will be my level of presence if I go?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I assess, which is just basic, yeah? And then if they are good friends, I will give them a call, say, listen, this, and that, all right? If I go there now with you, I'll be at 50%. Mm. Can't we find another way of doing this? Mm-hmm. All right. Or I'll come. However, I will not be able to stay until past midnight. I can stay until 10. Mm-hmm. Right. Would that be fine? All right. I'll put them in the, you know, they are in the decision, exactly. You know, because it's a give.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
but that's where the honesty is so nice then, because then they're going to understand that you're going to be.
It's not conflictual. All right. So it's not like, you know.
Sometimes there are other options that are available. Exactly. I mean, like day before yesterday, I had a meeting, which could have been a call, you know, WhatsApp call. And the other person said, listen, do you mind if we have a WhatsApp call instead? Mm. And I said, no, it's fine. Yeah. And he said, like, you know, we can enjoy our families instead.
And, you know, sometimes those people will ask the question that, that others will not, they don't permit themselves to ask.
You're both thinking the same thing.
Exactly. So just, you know, put it out there and, yes, okay.
You go, you know, I thought you'd never ask.
Have that night when you plan to go out with friends and they're like, oh, I can't make it. And you're like, oh thank. Because you're all sitting there. I had this recently. I've been trying to meet with my friends, Melissa, Lorinda and Davinia, and we've been trying to do this now for 3 months. And each of us has cancelled. I had a legitimate excuse. I had gastroenteritis. And I was still like, but I can come if I need to. And they're like, no, keep away with your germs. And everyone, when you do that and you see on the message, everyone's like, no, it's fine. You know that they wanted you to cancel.
But what was interesting is that the selfishness. You mentioned selfishness, all right? Why not?
Uh-huh. Why not be selfish sometimes?
Sometimes?
Yeah.
You know? It goes back to
why not self-care, actually? Yeah.
Exactly. All right, from time to time, you know?
Well, listen, this leads me very nicely to our last question, and this applies to every instance. And I'm going to start with you, Serena, and then I'm going to ask you ladies for your thoughts. And this is kind of, and then I'm going to ask you for a very closing statement. So I'm prepping you for this. But this, in all contexts, in the work context, in personal context, in the office, you know, I start off by saying we've all been in the office when someone's asked you to do something, they put it on your desk and you're like, I really wanted to get home tonight. Whether it's friends who want to meet, whether it's a family member who needs your time, whether it's somebody who's asked you to do something for them, it doesn't have to be an event, it could be a favor, it could be anything. Mm-hmm. How do we define for us, apart from just this question, how do we discern when it is right to say yes and be selfless and to say no and to self-care?
My God, I need to define this.
You do. How do we define, how do we find that boundary? How do we say, okay, in this instance, I mean, I know that every instance is, but is there not just can you not just wrap it up in 5 seconds?
Give us the magical answer.
Exactly, that we want the magic.
Well, you imagine if I had, all right? So it would be very easy. I think it's a learning process.
Okay.
It is a learning process. To say no, you have to train yourself to say no. And what I like to do is to say, what am I saying yes to? All right. So there, the brain will shift in the positive, okay? Mm-hmm. Because no is in the negative, mm-hmm. right? When you ask your question the other way around, okay? So
interesting.
You know? So there,
what are you gaining from saying?
What am I saying? Yeah. What am I saying yes to? An evening on the sofa, which I've so been looking forward to.
And even if you say yes to helping, et cetera, all right. What am I saying yes to? Mm-hmm. All right. This you practice, because honestly, it's not that easy. I know in the workplace, it's hard sometimes. It is hard. I sometimes I can't say no. All right. I have to do it. All right. I have to do it. Now, afterwards, I say, all right, guys, next time, can't we, you know, just take some time and think about it? Because here we are all in the same situation. We are all stressed. We are all da-da-da. Usually it's a repetitive.
Mm.
Yeah, it's not a one-off, and one-shot, and one-off. Okay, for example, pick up the children. If it's one time, from time to time, fine. But if that person asks you every week, it is a repetitive. This is another...
Crisis management.
Uh-huh. All right, so...
Batiholit, we say in Maltese.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So, you know, there are... But then just be conscious, because I say yes many times, all right? Now, what alerts me is the feeling afterwards. Am I angry at myself? Oh my God, really, Serena, right? You knew.
Instant regret. Uh-huh.
So next time, and I formulate it, all right? I do speak it out loud, all right? Next time, if you go back to that first minute when someone asks you that, you have this ready to ask or to say.
Mm-hmm. And you're prepared.
I'm prepared. Exactly. Okay, this is how you rewire some behavior, all right? So now it's not saying no any time. You can say no and you can say yes.
Most times you're caught off guard. Uh-huh. And some people do it purposely.
Yeah.
They catch you off guard, you know?
They call you instead of sending an email.
I'll ask her when she's least expecting it.
I'm really paranoid now, because I'm old school and I call everyone, and now I just have a feeling that everyone's like, oh, Gordon Bennett, it's Trudy again. She's going to ask for something. But that's just the way that I am. But I would also dress. I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but I was just had to justify that myself. We have thrown so many things onto the table. And we've had such an incredible conversation, and I'm really mind blown from things that each of you have said. I'm going to ask you in just a moment, Serena, to just have the final word, but I'm going to ask you ladies to really, I'm going to reformulate this question and ask you, what was said during the course of this show that you're going to take away today that really kind of formulated new thoughts in your head? Not on the spot, but yes, you are.
This question is, you know, it's a mature way as well of doing things, because I have a lot of tactics that I use for saying no eventually. Like, I kind of prepare myself, you know, someone will call. Some people call with an unknown number or a number I don't know. So instead of being caught off guard, I don't answer, and then... Mm. I send a message, and then I get some information, you know, and I've learned to ask information as well. I've learned to ask many questions before I commit to anything, because then it's not the other person's fault either for putting you in the situation. It's their job to ask you, can you do this, or, you know, can you help me with that? So I think I will take away this asking, how important is it to you? Because it adds value as well to the exchange. It adds value to the situation. So I like that.
And a level of consciousness that you're not just being selfish, thinking only about yourself, but you're also taking their feelings and their needs into consideration. So definitely.
And the question was, again, how important is it to you? And I think you could flip side that, just as I mentioned about Mel Robbins, and say, how important is it to me? So we have the both sides of that, I think.
And also what you're going to gain. That was also great. So what are you saying yes to?
That when I like saying no, well, yes.
Because that turns it into a much more positive thought.
Is that your takeaway? Is there anything else?
I think those are two great ones. And then not really a takeaway, but something that, because something that I said, but I think it's one of the most important thing is the gut feeling.
Yes.
When you receive the news of a plan or a an event or
true.
A collaboration or work or something like that.
This sounds like a can now.
I feel like you
or this sounds
you kind
like,
of know yeah, straight away. At least for me, it's quite like that. If it's something that I'm excited about, then I'm probably going to
enjoy
I'm going to enjoy it and I'm going to, it's going to be something good for me.
True.
And then usually when you have that gut feeling and you sometimes you push through it, it's usually, sometimes it surprises you. I'm not going to say that it doesn't. You think you're not going to enjoy something and then you say, oh no, actually that was lovely.
Pleasant.
Afternoon, exactly. But I think usually your gut feeling is quite correct.
Without a shadow of a doubt. And you mentioned gut feeling, and I am a massive believer and an evangelist of gut feelings these days, because I think one of the things, I'm sure Serena will agree with this, is one of the things that you can do is you can learn to disassociate with your gut feeling. Usually that happens in very early childhood, and I have had the opportunity in the last 10 years to reunite with my gut feeling, and your gut feeling is never wrong. It's never wrong. You know if it's going to be good. You know if you can turn up at a family event and be present. You know if the work request that's being asked of you is because it's genuine or because actually somebody wants to go to the pub and they want to hand it over to somebody else. You know whether a request for you to appear at an event or to do something is disingenuous or real. You always know. And I love hearing it on this show when somebody says, listen to your gut, because it's, like I say, it's new for
me.
Important. It's flipping amazing. It's our superpower that we have, that so many of us have broken, overridden, and need to get reconnected with. Wow. That was a bit loud, sorry. You look really peaceful, and I thought, quick. Closing thought.
I'll leave with let them let me.
I like that.
Because, all right, you can't control what other people will say, do, or interpret. Okay? However, you can control the response you put to this event. Okay? So, let them let me.
Ladies, cheers.
Cheers.
Let them let me.
Cheers.
I'm a little far away. Okay.
There you go. What a blooming awesome show. Thank you.
Thank you for having
us.
Thank
you.
Thank you.
Oops. Yeah.